yesterday I listened to your album three times.
You did.
I had a lot of questions because I would present your new album as Album of the Week on Bremer Rise. And to enlighten the listeners of Bremer Rise, I have some questions
good.
And hope you will answer as well. Listening for the first time to your new single, If It's Love, the sound hit me at once and I thought, this is a typical song by Sting. But is The Bridge a typical album by Sting? And if you think so, why?
Well, you know, it begins with this very whimsical, happy, whistling song. I always want to surprise people. Say, okay, here's the new single by Sting. I want people to go, oh, I didn't expect that. So I think people are intrigued that I'm whistling and it's a very happy song. You know, I can tend to be a little melancholic. So to write a happy song is good therapy for me. It reminds me of my father. You know, my father was a milkman, and when he was happy, he would whistle. You like to see people working, like cleaning windows. You know, there's something very therapeutic about that. And so I wrote this song, but it's not typical of the rest of the record. The rest of the songs can become introspective and a little melancholy, but it's a full spectrum of emotions for me, written during the lockdown. All of the characters I seem to be writing about are in transition between life and death, between sickness and health, between relationships. And they're all looking for a bridge. They're all looking for a way to the future that is happier or safer. So the central metaphor, the bridge, is a good one. It connects all of the songs. I wrote the song called The Bridge, which is a kind of metaphysical bridge rather than a real one. So it all kind of fitted together. But I only realized there was this connection when I'd finished the album. I laid the songs out on the table and went, ah, this is what connects that to that to that to that. It is a bridge, and it's one piece of work. But it came from the unconscious rather than a plan. I didn't have an agenda or an idea when I began, but I'm grateful that at the end of it there is something that I think is coherent.
Okay, you answered already my second question, but my third. As you said, to my ears, your album is divided into three parts, or should I better say spheres, starting with Loving You, the atmosphere created by the first three songs changes into something introverted. Loving You is, for me, actually a kind of prayer. And then are there folk ballads at The Hills on the Border or Captain Bateman? Could you explain these changes in between your album?
I think, you know, that there are maybe three strands of my musical DNA in there. Folk music is something that I lived with as a child and heard as a child and was influenced by as a child. Religion is important to me. Not that I'm religious anymore, but my religious education is something that I found stimulating, negatively and positively. And love. You know, I'm 70 years old, and I've experienced the whole spectrum of emotions concerning love, from misery up to joy, jealousy, lust, all of those things I've experienced. And even though I'm not necessarily writing autobiographically, I can sing about love with a certain authenticity because I've experienced the whole spectrum. It's different from a teenager singing about love, because what do you know? Nothing. So those three strands, I'm glad that you recognize them, because they are very much a part of my musical DNA, and an album will always indicate those things.
So in your album, you are reflecting life in general more than, or is it more self-reflective? What would you say?
You know, it comes from being open to the unconscious. You know, for me, songwriting is a meditation, and you allow things to come up from the unconscious that you don't necessarily understand at first. And it's a kind of therapy, a bit like action painting. You know, okay, what is that I just painted? Oh, I see a face of a man there and a woman. The songs are similar to that, at least in the first time you write something, and then you craft it, then you know you do some intellectual work with it, but ultimately or initially it comes from the unconscious, and I have no control over that or necessarily an understanding of it.
There are some strange stories. The speaking shadow in the hills on the border.
Oh, yeah.
The man followed by the shadow and is talking to him. Or the stranger with the hat who vanishes.
They're ghost stories.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So how do we invent these stories? They are a little bit strange.
Yeah.
Metaphysical.
They're metaphysical.
And inventing ideas for songs. What goes on in your mind?
Okay. I tend to the process I work is I write the music first. If the music is constructed well, it already has a narrative, a coherent story. There's something in there. Some people see color when they hear music. I see stories. I see narrative. I see characters in situations. It's my job to translate that story into rhyming couplets, into verses and choruses. But that's what I hear when I hear music. So I ask the music to tell me a story. And this you know, feeds my unconscious. And these ghost stories come up. Do I believe in ghosts? Probably yes.
Okay. When you are inventing ideas for songs musically, what comes first, the rhythm or the melody?
The harmony. The harmony, you know, I'm interested in chords. And I find one chord intriguing because it leads me to the next chord, and where does that lead? It's a journey of discovery. And then when I've laid that journey out, I then ask what that means. Well, who is singing this? What's his situation? Who is he with? Why is he troubled? Is he happy? Is he unhappy? I ask these questions, and then I find a way, line by line. It's like a crossword, you know.
Okay.
It's a puzzle.
So you're a very versatile musician. I think about your album 4, 4, 2, 8, 7, 6 together with Shaggy, or your John Duncan project, Songs from the Labyrinth. Where would you within your oeuvre locate your new album?
You know, it's not my job at all to try and put a label on my record or give it a genre. It's my job actually to avoid that. Because I don't want a label. I don't want a limiting box to be trapped in. That should be the problem for somebody listening, if they want to label it. You could call it a Sting album. Because it has many different, you know, it's driven by songs rather than, you know, some albums are by a band. So AC/DC put a record out. They're driven by the sound of the band, by fantastic guitar sound, great drums, Brian Johnson's voice. That's it. That's what. My albums are driven by the songs. It's the songs who come first, and the arrangements, the instrumentation, the approach is what supports the song rather than the band dictating what the sound is.
In my opinion, The Bridge is a more dark-colored album, a little bit similar to Mercury Falling. How would you describe the sound and the character of your...
The sound? Well, it's intentionally mixed, so the voice is very present right up close. You know, the microphone is a very, very intimate tool, and so you can actually climb into somebody's head with the voice. And so I've accented that. People will hear the voice first and then the instrumentation a little later. But that's intentional on my part.
Okay, and you recorded and mixed your album, The Bridge, at several places from Italy to the USA. How did the recording sessions proceed? Could you go together with other musicians into the room?
You know, the technology to record remotely has been with us for long before the pandemic, so it's not a novelty. You know, the drummer can be in Paris, the guitar player can be in Los Angeles, I could be in Italy. So that's, you know, when you think about it, studios, we're in separate rooms anyway. The drummer's always in an enclosed room, the singer's in another room. So that wasn't the problem. The problem is to make that situation intimate and warm and welcoming. And so I'm fortunate to be able to work with musicians who have worked with me for decades, Dominic Miller, Manu Katché, Matt Branford Marcellus, all of whom know my process. I know the way they work, so we don't have to say very much. I present the song to them, and then they offer their interpretations of that. So that's fairly easy, and I think it's a warm-sounding record, even though it was made largely remotely.
The Bridge seems to be a quite introverted album. Does it instinctively reflect these times that we are going through?
I think all of us are in the transition that I'm talking about. All of my characters here reflect what everyone is going through, because we're facing the climate crisis, we're facing the pandemic, the refugee crisis, economic turmoil, political turmoil. All of us are looking for a bridge to a place that's safer and happier. And that's, it's not just me, it's everyone. So I think it's maybe useful for the time. I don't know the solution to these problems. I really don't. But I do know if there is a solution, it's embedded in empathy, in communication, in love, music, art, something that connects us and brings us together rather than separates us. Because that's the other problem. We're becoming more separate.
But did the pandemic had any influence on the latest album, or did it change your way on looking at yourself as an artist?
I think, again, I'm not saying I'm different from anyone here. It allowed us to meditate, if you like, the time and the space to really investigate or recalibrate your relationship with your family, your loved ones, with your country, with your environment, with the planet. Say, well, what is this? You have to ask a question. We're stuck in the house. We can't move. Why? What's going on? What's the bigger question? So all of us became more philosophical, I think.
Okay. Do you think that music in these times delivered an even higher significance than before?
It certainly has a great significance to me as therapy, as a source of meditation. And also with modern technology, the whole world of music is accessible through streaming. You can think of a song in any genre, pop music, classical music, folk music, almost instantly receive it back. That's a wonderful tool. That's an incredible tool to have. I noticed that Universal Music made a big, you know, profit on the stock market, because music is important to people. And streaming, you know, gives us this access, which we never had before. Now, the other question is, musicians aren't really paid enough, you know. It's fine for me. I have a lot of songs on the streaming networks. But if you have one song, it's hard to buy a cup of coffee. But so this needs to be addressed. But the tool itself, apart from that, is incredibly useful.
But you decided to present a new album, and the album is a quite traditional form.
Yeah, very.
Yes, does the album form have a future? But
you know, I also released the album on vinyl. It's become a very popular thing. I love vinyl records. I like the ritual of taking it out and putting it on. But also, I think in terms of an album. Still, you know, you have an A side and a B side, and you want to start with something that's positive, and then finish the first side with something that will intrigue people to turn it over. You know, even though I know it's not how people listen anymore. But it's meant to, for me, it's meant to be something you can listen to for 40 minutes. But that's my old-fashioned way of thinking. But most people just listen to song, you know, and then they go on to something else. But I still think in terms of albums.
Unfortunately, they do.
It's okay, but, you know, people who will buy a vinyl record will have that same experience. So that's a growing number.
Is there any important question I forgot to ask?
No, you covered everything.
Yeah. Okay,
very comprehensive.
Okay, and would you be so kind as to speak two ideas for Bremen 1?
Of course.
The first one, so if it's true that you are glad about The Bridge becoming album of the week on Bremen 1?
It's really?
Yeah.
It's album of the week on Bremen 1? Okay, well, I'm thrilled that my album The Bridge, it will be record of the week, album of the week on Bremen 1. That's very special for me.
Thank you very much.
Dankeschön.
It was very, very interesting.
Thank you. Your questions were very interesting.
Oh, thank you.